Master was a little crazy. He had spent too many years reading books overseas, talked to himself in his office, did not always return greetings, and had too much hair. Ugu's auntie said this in a low voice as they walked on the path. "But he is a good man," she added. "And as long as you work well, you will eat well. You will even eat meat every day." She stopped to spit. The saliva left her mouth with a sucking sound and landed on the grass. Ugu did not believe that anybody, not even this master he was going to live with, ate meat every day. He did not disagree with his auntie, though, because he was too choked with expectation, too busy imagining his new life away from the village. They had been walking for a while now, since they got off the lorry at the motor park, and the afternoon sun burned the back of his neck. But he did not mind. He was prepared to walk hours more in even hotter sun.
"Ah, Mrs. Pilkings, how fortunate. I came here to look for your husband. I have to talk to him. I need your help, Mrs. Pilkings. I've always found you somewhat more understanding than your husband. I was sent a cable. A relative sent it weeks ago. It said nothing about my father. All it said was, our king is dead. But I knew I had to return home at once so as to bury my father too. That's why I want to see your husband, you see. He's wasting his time. And since he has been so helpful to me, I don't want him to incur the enmity of our people, especially over nothing. How can I make you understand? You may think your husband is protecting him, but he has protection. No one can undertake what he does tonight without the deepest protection the mind can conceive. What can you offer him in place of his peace of mind? In place of the honor and veneration of his own people? You white races know how to survive. I've seen proof of that. But at least have the humility to let others survive in their own way.